Last Sunday, Sam talked about the dash in our life, what happens between the time we were born and the time we die. And someone said, I don't know if it was Sam said in his message or if someone said during the sharing time, that life is so short. And I would agree with that. In fact, the Bible agrees with that as well. 1 Chronicles 29, it says this, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on our earth are as a shadow and without hope." So just a shadow. That the Bible talks about the shortness of our days just being a shadow that flees away. James 4:14 says this, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And you get the picture of seeing your breath on a cold morning. And you breathe out, and it's just a little vapor, and then it's gone. That's a picture of our life. Psalm 39:5 says, "Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor." And that verse caught me. My days before God are nothing, and actually, I read recently that made me stop and think. It said it's not that life is so short, it's that eternity is so long. And that when I read that, I had to step back a little bit just in my life and say, so eternity is so long. What is my life compared to? It's compared to a breath. It's compared to a vapor, and sometimes we think we live a long time, and sometimes we think our life is short, but compared to eternity, it's not that life is short, it's just that eternity is so long. Eternity is a long time, and as I was thinking about that, it would be like if this room would represent eternity, and this eternity has no ends. So, but if this room would represent eternity, it would be like the time from creation till the time that earth is no more, compared to this room, would be about like this pin. And I don't know, no one knows when that is, I'm just comparing. But the time that from the time of creation till the time the earth is no more is about like this pin, and my time, if I live to be 100 years, is about like the size of this pinhead in relation to this room, in relation to eternity. How many can you the point of this pin, how many of you can see the point of this pin from here? You can't see it. Merle has very good eyes, he can see it from there. But we can't see the point of this pin in reference to this room. And yet that's how God looks at my days here on earth. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty small here today. Because I get in the midst of life, I get in the midst of what's happening, and I get buried and mired down in life. And I say, whoa, what in the world is going on? Life seems forever. It seems like what I'm dealing with, it seems like a long time, but yet it seems short, and we get caught in this whole thing. But Psalm said, all my days to God are as nothing. And it doesn't mean that he's not concerned about what's going on in our days. He's very much in tune. But as God looks on it from eternity, from the perspective of eternity, our days on this earth are 100 years if I live to be that long. Merle, you have good eyes. I can't see the tip from here, and may mean that I need glasses. I don't know. But the point of this pin, that's how God looks at our 100 years here on this earth. And I don't know about you, but I think in terms of how I want my life to impact the world. And I talk about that. I want to leave when I die. I want my life to impact the world. But as I took a step backwards and thought of the perspective, how in the world I can think in terms of impacting my world, the world around me, But how do I impact eternity? The vastness of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. How do I impact the size of this room with this pin, point of this pin? How do I do that? That's an incredible thought. And it gives me a different perspective on the life that I'm living here today. Because my goal is not to impact my world, the point of this pin. My goal as a child of God is to impact eternity. And my life will impact eternity. It's a given. We have a choice of how we're going to impact that. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. How do we impact eternity? How do we impact eternity on a personal level, but also on a church level? And I want to think about that as specifically on a church level, as we've gathered together here as a body of believers. How can my life today, how can our lives collectively, as we sit here this morning, impact eternity? What will it take for us to be able to do that? What will it take for me that when I die, that my life will have impacted the vastness of this room, the vastness of eternity? I want to read the verses, chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. And we're breaking in there in 40 on the message that Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Most of us would long to go back to the early church and be a part of a church that was as effective as the early church was. In fact, there's many people today that are saying, how can we get back there today? How can we get back to what the early church was, what was happening back then? How can we duplicate that in today? How were they so effective as an early church? And I believe these verses give us a window into why the early church was so effective. And in verse 41 and 42 specifically, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Or another way of saying that, and some translations read this way, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayers. And first of all, if we want to impact eternity, we have to have devotion. And many of you have, if you've been in business, you've heard this, and you've probably heard it across the pulpit, our lives, comparing our lives to a box. And if I would draw a box here this morning, and what I would want to ask you is, what's in your box? Because there can only be one thing in our box at one time. We can only be devoted to one thing at a time in our lives. We can't be devoted to numbers of things. And Jesus talks about that in numbers of places. And throughout the Bible, it talks about the fact that our lives, we're going to be devoted to one thing. We're going to be committed to one thing. The question is, what are we devoted to in our lives? What's the ruling thing in our lives? Is it our job? Is it our marriage? Is that our family? Is that what we're devoted to? What are we devoted to? And it's interesting that it says that the disciples or the believers were devoted to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship and breaking and bread and prayers. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit later on. But first of all, they were devoted to God. And as you read what was happening in the Church of Acts, there were some really powerful things taking place, and lives were being changed drastically, and they were committing themselves to the cause of Jesus Christ. And God was number one in their box. Their devotion, God was who they were devoted to. Everything else came second to them, and there were other important things that they looked at, but their devotion was to God. If we want to be effective, if we want to impact eternity, we can't impact eternity with something else being in our box other than God. We can't be devoted to our jobs. We can't be devoted to our church. I hate to say those words because they were very devoted to it, but that can't be the thing that's in our box, number one. Our church can't be in our box. Our family can't be in our box, and our jobs can't be in our box. God is the only thing that can be in our box if we want to impact eternity. The second thing, in verse 43, it says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." There was power that was happening in the early church. Power was clearly evident and clearly seen. And I've heard a lot of debate and a lot of talk. In fact, if you read very far at all, you'll hear people say, well, that power was for back then. It's not for our age today. I don't believe that for a minute. Because the same God that was working then is working today. And the same power that is evidenced in the early church can be evidenced in our lives today. But power was evidenced, and there's not much more power that can be displayed than a changed life. And many of you know the story of Nikki Cruz, but that's an example of how David Wilkerson went to New York City, and if you've watched Across on the Switchblade, you know the story. But how David Wilkerson went to New York City and began to minister into the life of one of the fiercest gangs in New York City. And Nikki Cruz was the leader of that. And when his life turned around from hanging out in drug houses and living every day to fight and those kind of things, when his life was transformed, there's no greater power that can be displayed than that. And that's a miracle in itself. But when God gets a hold of a life and transforms it and changes it and moves it into a different path, that's the power of the Almighty God. And the question is this: are our lives displaying power? And I'm not talking about just the power of the transformed life, but are we so in tune with God? Is God number one in our box enough that we're able, with power, to move into our world and to create things in our world, not that we're creating, but create situations in our world where God clearly comes through and shows his power? Because he's number one in our lives. He's the one that's in our box, and we're following him. And as a result of our devotion, power flows from our lives. When the power of God is present, people sit up and take notice. I know when I have seen people's lives change, it makes me sit up and take notice. And when I see God moving and miracles happening, it makes me sit up and take notice, and I say, whoa, I want to be a part of that. I want to go and be where that is. So why is there such a lack of power in many of our lives, in many of our churches today? And I think 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about that well. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And so often in our lives, we settle for one or the other. We either settle for the form, or then we settle for the power, or we tap into the power. But way too often, I know in my own life, I settle for the form. I come to church on Sunday morning, I put in my time here, I go to work and I put my time in there, and I just have a way of going through life by a form. I live my life, and it comes back to a message I preached back a while ago, is Christianity just a lifestyle for us, or is it a relationship that we have with God? It ties into that as well. And when it's just a lifestyle for it, Christianity is just a form that we live. It's a way that we have lived our lives, but there's no power evident. There's no power evident in our own lives personally, and we're not tapping into the power of God to perform miracles. Why aren't there more miracles happening today? And I think the reason is so often we settle for the form and not tap into the power of God. If we want to impact eternity, we can't live our lives by form. We will not impact eternity if we're just going through the motions of Christianity. The third thing in these verses, verse 44, it says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." And verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." One of the things that was very evident in the early church was the whole thing of sacrifice. And it's talking about how they had everything in common. They continued daily with one accord. I'm sorry, I'm sidetracked here. What I'm saying here is actually not sacrifice, but unity. You get a picture of a very unified church. They were meeting. They were together. They had all things in common, and I want to come back and talk about that a little bit later. But they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And actually, history teaches that that was literally what they did. Every day, they gathered together at the normal Jewish times of worship, but they would gather together at the temple and worship God together. And then beyond that, they would go to each other's homes and break bread together. And that breaking bread refers to the communion service that probably took place at the temple. But beyond that, they also broke bread together. They actually sat down and had a meal together daily. And I don't know how you do that with 3,000 people that had just been added to the church. But somehow, I don't know if they went to different houses, I don't know how they did it, but that continued for a period of time, and then they went from daily to weekly until the time that persecution set in and they were dispersed. But that's how the early church operated. On a daily basis, they met together, worshiped together, but they broke bread together and spent time together. They couldn't wait to be with each other because their lives had changed. They couldn't wait to hang out with each other. I long for that kind of unity sometimes. But sometimes I want my space. I want my own. I want to be able to go out and do what I want to do sometimes and not worry about other people. But truth be told, I long for that kind of unity. A unity where there's a oneness in spirit, a oneness in heart, so much so that we can't wait to get together. We can't wait to be with each other. There's a unity of heart, a unity of purpose, a unity of spirit. That kind of unity will impact eternity. You know, as I listen to pastors across this country, I realize that about every church that I know of is struggling with this whole thing, and the majority of energy is put into trying to bring some sort of unity as a body and dealing with problems and issues and things that are going on in the body of Christ. That's where our energy is going, trying to keep the unity. We can't keep it. I believe it only comes when God is number one in our box and when we're operating out of power. That's where true unity comes from. And I'll continue with some things later on. But unity, if we want to impact eternity, we can't do it on our own. We can do some things on our own, but the greatest impact will be when we're unified with a body of believers, and together we're impacting eternity and impacting people's lives. Are we striving for unity? What about not just in our church? What about in our families, our work? And the list goes on and on. Are we unified in our lives? And I realize that we'll never achieve this perfectly, probably. And they didn't either. They were unified for a period of time, and then they began to bicker as well, the early church did. But I believe the effectiveness of the early church, part of it was unity. The fourth thing in this passage is sacrifice. Verse 45, it said, "They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." And then in 47a, "Praising God and having favor with all the people." They sold what they had, put it into the pot, and distributed as people had need. They sacrificed. They were willing to sacrifice their own personal selves, their own personal lives, for the sake of the body. People, and this was actually among the believers, but people to them were more important than their possessions. And that's an incredible concept. I wonder what our church would be like. I wonder what our country would be like if we as churches would get a hold of this concept. And I'm not talking about going to live in a commune somewhere where we share everything together and where everything is together. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But what would happen if we would get a hold of the concept that the needs that you're struggling with financially is more important? You are more important as a person than my personal possessions and my money. And it says they did that. That's what they did. What would happen if we sold our extra piece of ground? And we all have things at home that we could do. I was just dreaming a little bit. I wonder what would happen if we would clean out all our extra stuff, whether it's an extra vehicle or whatever it is, and have an auction, and that money would go to meet some of the needs in our congregation or beyond our congregation, actually. What would happen to our congregation? I like to dream about that a little bit, but actually, the truth is, in today's culture, the churches that are growing today, some of this stuff is taking place. It's what's happening. Some of the churches that are growing the fastest, the reason they are is because they invest, they give lots to help the needs in their community. Actually, we have a church not just a couple miles from here that I don't know what they gave in the last couple years, but I know a number of years ago they were dumping, I don't know the exact number, but 120 to 140,000 just into this community right here. 140, it was over 120,000, somewhere between 120 and 140. They're growing like crazy, but the money went to help people pay for their heating bills and to get their cars inspected and to just help out in any way that they could help out in the community. To widows, when a house burned down, they invested in that, in the house, help the people. All those kind of things, dumping incredible amounts of money. And those churches are growing. And one of the areas right now in the churches across America, some of the fastest growing churches are churches that have gone into cities and adopted schools and said, "We realize our tax dollars aren't cutting it, and you're going to school with broken windows. That isn't right." And they go in and redo schools one room at a time as they have money. And those are some of the fastest growing churches. And the truth is, we can see it in the reason for that is we can see it in this scripture. Good deeds leads to goodwill, which leads to good news. The good deeds that we do, it says they had favor with all the people. And that turned around as persecution came in. But as people see us sacrificing for the good of another person, it leads to goodwill that happens within their lives. They say, whoa, these guys aren't camping on their own little empire here or protecting their own little empire. They're actually sacrificing for the good of other people, which leads to goodwill, which opens the door to the good news of the gospel. And the end of it says they have favor with all the people. And then it says, which actually leads to my next point, is that's when we begin to have impact. And it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And the church had an incredible impact. And it started, and I don't think we can divorce any one of these from each other. They all sort of flow together. But we have to have devotion. And it comes with devotion and then power and unity and sacrifice. And today, it's keeping on in sacrifice. Today, it's so easy for us to get that backwards. Our possessions are way more important than what people are in our lives. And it's easy for me to say, well, I can't give or I can't sacrifice because I have, and we make all kinds of excuses about the future. But if we want to impact eternity, it means sacrifice on our part today. You know, and I don't know what to do with this because I sit with people, and actually we've had people attend our church here that I sit with working with financially that are debating about buying food, and this is in our culture, this isn't in Africa, whether they should continue buying groceries because it means they're going to have to go in debt with their situation. We have people around us, and we can look at them and say, well, in today's culture, you should have there's no reason you should be in the situation that you're in. And we can say, you know, go be warmed and filled, or find a job, or whatever we say. But does it, and I'm just saying, sometimes I don't know what to do with it because I'm sitting with these people. And I'm trying to advise them, do you go into debt so that you can keep eating? Or, like, what do we do with those kind of things? And what are we called to as a body of believers? I don't know what to do with that sometimes. But I believe if people are going to be more important than possessions, we as people will move into that and help out no matter what the situation is, because they're more important than what our possessions is, which will lead, like I said at the last point, which will lead to impact. Impact for eternity. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And actually, some of these same verses are repeated in chapter 4. I want to read these. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as anyone had need. And it was the way they lived their life back then. But as I sit back, and I think of eternity, and I realize I have just a pinpoint of time in which to impact eternity, it changes my perspective, like I said before. The question is, I'm not sure how much I've impacted eternity, but if I want to impact eternity, I'm probably going to have to change. I'm thinking of, on a personal level, some of the way I've viewed life and some of the way I've approached life up until this point. I think I may have had a little of an impact on eternity, but much less than I could have. And I believe just several thoughts on eternity. One is I have a pinpoint of time to determine where I'm going to spend eternity. And as I was thinking about that, that doesn't seem fair. I'm going to be someplace the size of this room forever. In a million years from now, I'll just have started. A million years from now, that's like nothing in the eyes of God. I'll just have started eternity. But I've made it to 40, over 40 now. I've made it to 42. I could die tomorrow. So that means that I would have 42 years to determine eternity. And in some ways, that doesn't seem fair. Like, it seems like I should have more time to work this out than just a pinpoint of time to determine where I'm going to be. But yet that's long enough to determine what's going to be in my box, how I'm going to live my life, who I'm going to be loyal to. I have just enough time to determine that, and then I'm going to spend eternity. I can't get a hold of that, but this helps. You can't even see it, but that's what eternity is. Incredible amount of time, and I have just that much time to determine where I'm going to spend eternity. We can only impact eternity with eternal things. We can't impact eternity, and some of you say, well, I can use money to impact eternity. I'm going to come back to that. But truth be told, we can't impact eternity with temporal things, with earthly things. Eternity can only be impacted with eternal things. And really what I'm saying there is it's what we can send over that will impact eternity. And the only things that I know that is, and you can help me out here, but is truth and people. The Word of God, it says it will stand forever. It's going to be forever. We are eternal beings. Those are the only things that I can send over ahead of me. I can't send money over there. But earthly things can be used to open doors. And I believe as we look at Scripture, earthly things are to be used to open doors so that we can impact eternity. It's how we live our lives. It's how we use the things that God has given us to impact eternity forever. I come back to what I said earlier. I don't know when I felt as small as I did this week, as I've actually just stepped back and said, eternity, man, that's forever. Like a million years from now, that's just a drop in a bucket. That's about like this pinhead, or the size of this pin, or actually a little bit bigger than this. But a million years, it's forever. How am I impacting that? And I think I can only do that by the devotion that I have in the life, by the power that I just allow God to display through me, by the unity that I show. And Jesus talks about it. I could have brought a lot of other verses where he says how we love each other. And he talks about the unity of the Spirit and those kind of things. But it's the unity that we show. It's the sacrifice that I'm willing to make that will open the door for impact for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we are so small. As we look at eternity, our years here are just a breath, just the point of a pin. And Lord, that's overwhelming to me as I think about that this morning. And yet, Lord, your desire is to work through us and to change our lives, so that we can impact eternity. And Lord, we can't do that on our own. It's only through you. It's only through what you've done in our lives. It's only through what you, how you've changed us and molded us and how you use us. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning. And Lord, I confess, it's easy for me to get wrapped up in the stuff of life, the earthly things. And sometimes they're more important to me than eternity. And then people who will be spending eternity somewhere. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the vastness and the greatness of eternity. And we will be spending it someplace, either in eternal bliss, relationship with you, or we'll be spending it in hell, away from you, departed from you. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't waste our possessions, our time, our lives on just things of this world. That we would use the things, use our time and our lives to impact eternity. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and mold us and shape us. In Jesus' name, amen.